Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Jesus in the closest, my closest.
Hey, I fell on my face just the other day. If some of my so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
drop it. We don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends. His arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend.
Live my life in pain without you. Till that day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, livedeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get a pen and a paper so that you can take notes. And at the end of the ministry, we'll open up the call so that you can make comments or ask questions about the ministry tonight. So if you would, just join your hearts in prayer with me as we get started and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our hearts and minds and birth victory in our spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we want to try to wrap up the concept and construct of praise, promise, worship, and win. You know, God has always had the plan for our lives that is tightly connected to the flow of his praise, his promises, his worship in our life. Because it says that our very life is hid in him, that we move and live and have our being in him. He's the center of it all. And so we want to just kind of deal with that from the perspective of as I live in the things that he has ordained. You know, I don't have to try to get God to do anything. Jesus told us this, but sometimes we forget it because we think that we're living without him. We're living without his presence. We're living without the victory that he promised. And so we try to argue with our mind and heart and say that maybe he's not there. But see, he made promise to us that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us. And then if you would look at that scripture as it is penned, it says that since he will never leave us or forsake us, our conversation should be different. Therefore, we should boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, when I have a promise, I told my daughter all the time, if you don't have a promise, you don't have a prayer. See, because if you're trying to base it on your emotions, you know, that's not the place God wants you to have as a foundation for your prayer. He wants his word to be established the same way it's in heaven, settled, the Bible says. It's forever settled in the heavens. He wants it to be settled in you. Jesus gave us that information in the Lord's Prayer. He said, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so shall it be done on earth or in earth. And Lucas says, and I love that one because it says in earth means you are made out of the dust of the earth, in you. He wants his promise to be alive in you. Amen. He wants his praise to be alive in you. He wants his worship to be alive in you. See, that's where the difference is. Sometimes we visit the presence of God, but we were created to live there. Because everything that you need is in his presence. Everything that you need is in his presence. I'm reminded all of the time about those beings that are before him, that all they do all day, 24 hours a day, they stay in his presence. They look up and they see him and they say these words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and they fall back down on their face. They don't take a break for the bathroom. They don't go get nothing to eat. All they do all day, all night, is catch a glimpse. I mean, y'all just get this. They just catch a glimpse of who he is, and it sustains them until they look up and get another glimpse. And he has chosen to abide, live in us. Glory to God. So since he's living there, what could we be lacking? As a reality, we've got to come to grips with that. See? We things from a perspective of, you know, as we've said it before, trying to keep up with the Joneses. God has made it so stupid to make that a point of reference that if we would just live in him. It said again in Colossians chapter 3. It tells us that in him, and this is Romans chapter 17, thank you. I'm thinking about one, quoting another. Romans chapter 17, verse 29 says that in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being.
See, if we would understand that, then how is it possible that I would think that he's not here? See, we are complete in him. That's what was in Colossians chapter 2:10. It says we're complete in him. It didn't say that we were lacking in him. It says that because we live and move and have our being, we are complete in him. He's the Prince of Peace. And the word peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in its place, flowing as it should flow. Glory to God. See, when we live in the praise, we have a revelation of the promise. I need for you to get these connections. These are not steps, all right? I'm not trying to break it down to a step, do this, get that. I'm trying to cause us to understand it's a life. And if I live a life of praise, I can then have revelation of the promise that he's already made. There's enough life in the word and if you would find out why it's there. Amen. We can live off of every word is what he said. So there's enough life in the word but to cause me to be exactly filled with all fullness. Okay? Again, this as a point of review, trying to let you see this in Colossians chapter 1. Okay? So that we can begin to see how God wants us to think, how God wants us to. Okay, I'm saying it. He said he wants us to live and move. So this is the way we move. Glory to God. If you don't move in the spirit, beloved, you will not accomplish anything in the natural because your movement has to be in the spirit first. If you're still in a place in your heart, in the spirit, where you are doubting God, there can be no motion because in him you live, in him you move, in him you have your being. He didn't say in and by your job you live. See? It's because I live in him. See, if I choose to walk in, if I choose to walk from mountain peaks to mountain peaks, here's the thing. Notice what I said. I said if I choose to walk from mountain peak to mountain peak, that tells me I'm going to have to go down into the valley. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you saw that. See, because I need to just recognize that even in the valley, he's there with me. And so then if I look at what it says in Psalms 84, it says that he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. They will walk to a place and they will say to a dry place that it's now a pool. Flip over there just to see, let you see this. These are not, this is just what comes out, y'all. It's like I say, I'm like a sponge. You just squeeze me and the good comes out. Because that's what's in there. Okay? Listen at this. The whole psalm is one of those psalms you should look at and begin to highlight and begin to find ways to live it out. Okay? This is what David did routinely. He would allow a word to be so alive in him that it became a song unto him, a song of deliverance. See? And when he was faced with trouble, frustration, he would do what the Bible, what he told us to do in the Bible, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. See, this is the way David lived. That's why we can see the testimony that God said about him is he was a man that was always after pursuing God's heart. He was not just trying to pursue answers. He was pursuing God's heart. If you find God's heart, beloved, you just found your answer. Because everything that you need is in him. Glory to God. See, if we would understand that and stop detaching ourselves by what we see and or don't see. Because the just are supposed to live by faith. See, they don't live by what they see. Because the things that are seen are temporary. They are temporal. They are subject to change. But the things that are not seen, they are deathless and everlasting. See? So he's trying to get us to practice this, to live in this. Because as we do, then we will cause ourselves to receive strength from on high. See, glory to God. We will not walk around with a glass that's half full. Hallelujah. Didn't he tell us that our cup is supposed to overflow? Amen. See? Listen at this. I'm just quoting scripture, y'all. It's just alive in there. He says that if I would listen to him, put my heart in the position where I understand that he will never leave me or forsake me, then my conversation changes, and I begin to say things like, surely, goodness. He didn't say maybe. He said, surely, goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever would have to include right now, wouldn't it? He didn't say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord from this time after I get back in his presence and stay there. See, forever has to start now. It's not when I get to heaven. That's what I was trying to say. If it doesn't work, beloved, come on. If it doesn't work now, it's not going to work then, because you're going to take, wow, Lord, you're going to take your experience of now and mess up your then. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not as a man wants to think, not as a man supposed to think, as a man thinketh. He's trying to make your now so that you will be living in it from that point until eternity. He's given you the victory. He always causes you to triumph. See? When you hear what he said, he says that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You say, you make my cup to overflow. You fill it to overflowing. I cannot in my heart, I cannot see lack if my cup is overflowing. It can't be half full. It's overflowing. Okay, let's try it this way. He starts from that which is full and then increases that which is full. We're going to go back and see that in Colossians in just a minute. See, he starts with that which is full. He doesn't start with that which is empty. He causes the cup that you possess. Come on, look at it, y'all. He's asking you to live in your now. So your cup that you have is not a half-empty cup. It is a full cup that he's going to cause to overflow. He wants to increase you more and more, 1,000 times, he said. See, the Bible says he wants to rejoice over you to do good. The same way he rejoiced over our fathers to do them good. Just think about the 40 years that they operated in the will of God, where they didn't even have time or the ability to make shoes or clothes. Their shoes and clothes grew with them. Amen. It says that the clothes that they were wearing did not wear out. So that if my clothes are not wearing out, I don't need new ones, do I? Because God was their supply. They didn't have a place that they can stop. killed the animal, caused the skin that they took off the animal to be cured so that they could then sew clothes together. You see the problem, don't you, in the wilderness when they were going from one to the other. Because their instructions were to move with the cloud. When the cloud move, you move. So then how much time would I have to go and stop, kill the animal, cure the animal, sew the whatever I need together so that the person that was in need can have it to wear? Just some selah. Think about that. This is what he wants to do. He wants you to be the same way that he had Adam. Adam was so caught up in the glory of God, covered with the glory of God, the man did not know he was naked. Amen. God, he didn't lack for anything. He never saw need. Come on, y'all. Before Adam could even understand need was not fulfilled, God fulfilled it. God is the one that said, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam didn't say, I'm lonely. God said that. Before you know what to ask for, God says he knows what you need. I mean, can you line these things up from that position? That he wants to be all in all. See? So when we get our heart to the place where we live in his praise, where we live in his worship, where we live in his presence, we won't have to worry about it. You live in the promise, and then he causes your conversation to be different. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, the different conversation is, I'm not worried about what some man's going to do. I will not fear. Psalms 84. Again, this is just a point of reference so that you can see how to frame these things in your thinking. Okay? Because when you frame, that's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, through faith we understand. And what is it that we understand? That the worlds were framed by the word of God. So then he wants you to live having your world framed by the word of God. See, you don't frame your word from the lack that you experience. You framed your word, your world, by the word of God. You call those things that be not as though they were. You declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. See, this is the way that we walk it out. This is the way that we can cause the manifestation that we're looking for to come upon us, overtake us. Isn't that what the blessings are supposed to do? If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, then all of these blessings would come upon you, and they would overtake you. Goodness and mercy is wanting to cause these blessings to be seen, understood, developed in your life. This is how we frame our thought process. One of 84, Psalms 84. How lovely or amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh. Boy, come on, y'all. The man said, not only in my spirit, on the inner man, he says, my heart and my flesh. I have conversations. Glory to God. Listen at the man. He says, the conversations that I live with come out of my heart and control my flesh. My heart and my flesh is looking, longs for, cries out for the living God. I mean, that's just a place. This is the place that David lived in. He understood there was a working revelation in David's life that caused the things that were necessary to be done prior to him being king. Amen. He needed deliverance. A lion was attacking the sheep that he was responsible for. And he said, no, I'm going to deal with this according to what my heart says. And he killed the lion. A bear came, and he went and killed the bear. And he said, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and the bear. This is what he told Goliath. He said, see, I practiced this over and over. I think about these things. I was in a position where it looked bad for me. I'm facing a lion that is not scared for nobody, that don't step back for nobody. And I'm facing a lion that was hungry, had food in his mouth. And David said, that food don't belong to you. And he went at the lion in the name of the Lord, took care of the lion. A bear, which is, come on, y'all, this ain't no little big cub. He didn't say a cub, glory to God. Full-grown bear. And the bear had gone into the sheepfold and took one of the sheep. It's one thing you just don't do. You don't mess with animals, wild animals in particularly, while they eating. When eating is on their mind, you don't go up there and disturb them. You'll become lunch. But David said, no. You have no right to the sheep that belong, that are under my care. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that's not your lamb. That's not your sheep. So then God showed him these things by revelation, and he operated in the revelation that God gave him. You've got to have revelation to go and decide you're going to fight a bear and a lion. Come on, y'all. You just don't do that without revelation. So then I would submit to you that the things in your life that you're facing, that you want to see victory in, you will have to do them, get the victory by revelation. You can't get the victory if there is no revelation. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that's built on revelation, the life that's built on revelation. Yeah, glory to God. See, so then when you want to stop the things that are challenging you, get the revelation that comes out of the promise. Get the revelation that comes out of the word and build your house. Cause that to be your house that Jesus built. Let's do it that way. This is the house that Jesus built. A house built on revelation, and the very gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Okay, see y'all, I mean, you just look at these things. It says, my heart and my flesh. I've trained my heart and my flesh to cry out for a living God, not a dead promise. Just because you can quote what the word is spoken does not mean that word is alive on the inside of you. Don't you remember? The Bible tells us clearly in the book of James, it says that the devils believe that there is one God, they tremble. I was just about to bring it up, but here it is again. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? And they were having a demonic attack, and they said, I adjure you to the Spirit. I adjure you by this Christ that Paul preaches. Come out of the man. You see, you can't walk on nobody else's. You cannot live on no one else's revelation. Because as soon as the Spirit heard that, the Spirit said, oh, you don't have a revelation of Jesus. You said you want me to move by the Jesus that Paul preaches. You didn't say by the Jesus that I believe in. And so since the Spirit heard that, the Spirit wounded the man, left the man naked because he was trying to operate on someone else's revelation. Oh, fellowship is good. Agreement is good. But until that word is alive on the inside of me, David said, my heart and my flesh is talking to the living God, the one that abides in me. See, not just the one that I carry around in a promise book, and I open up the promise book and quote what the promise book says. No. I have purpose that I'm going to live by this. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I live by it. I make it my bread. I make it my sustenance. It's my sustenance is from the word. Jesus told him, "You, I got bread you don't know of. I got meat you don't know of. My meat, my sustenance is to do the word of him that sent me, to do the will of the Father. That's where I live." See? So then I bring my flesh into subjection by the word that's alive on the inside. See? Praise, promise, and worship and win. This is how it's done. It's not just because I am aware of a situation that God's now going to move. He said, my flesh cries for a word that is alive. My spirit feeds on a word that is alive. I don't try to live on someone else's revelation. Come on, back to David. When David went to Goliath, Saul told him, said, look, your king Saul said, here, David, take my medal, take my armor, take my things that I trust in, and go and win this battle for me. And David said, no, I can't do this, your highness. I can't put this. I haven't proved it. I haven't walked in victory in this. I'm going to take what I got. My confidence is in the Most High God. Some people trust in swords and spears, but my confidence is in the Most High God. See, I've already gone through examples of his faithfulness to me. And then he spoke from that position and told Goliath, the one everybody else was scared of. They weren't even scared of Goliath's fight. Come on, y'all. They were not scared of Goliath's fight. They were scared of Goliath's words. He stood there day after day, came in morning and night, and blasphemed God. And David heard the words, and he said, what is this uncircumcised Philistine that's challenging God's word, that dishonors the word of God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? When did he become the all in all? See, but because he lived that, he could say that. The people that were looking at him didn't have that in their heart. All they saw was trouble. Glory to God. Oh, my God, look at this, look at this. All they saw was trouble from afar off. David saw victory in the big thing that was coming at him. Amen. See, he didn't see nothing but victory. He didn't see a problem. He saw an opportunity. I hope y'all getting this. We are in the middle of a pandemic. It would be wise for us to begin to look at our God and introduce our problem to our God instead of trying to introduce our God to our problem. See? This is how we take the position that God has called us to and placed us in. I mean, he's so good. He didn't even wait for us to achieve the place. He gave us. He called us into this place. Whew. My flesh cries out for a living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. See, he's telling us again, consider the birds. Remember he told us to consider the lilies and the birds? He said their trust is complete in God. They don't go try to work some up, work some out. They just say, no, we just trust God. And because they trust him, they do not lack. The last time you saw a bird in the place that Walmart in looking for some clothes. They're clothed from the inside out. See? The same way God wants us to be, clothed from the inside out. Praise in the heart. Promise, faith in the heart. Worship from the heart. Because as you do that, God is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for those that call out to him in praise. Because he's the one that said that out of the mouth of babes and suckling, he's perfected praise, that he might steal the enemy, that he might stop the avenger. He's looking for that. He's not looking for our learned way of complaining, trying to sound like we holy, but all we're doing is complaining, spouting out doubt and unbelief, frustration, anxieties, and fears. David said, my heart and my flesh are crying out for the living God. Blessed, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Blessed are they which live there, not those that visit once a week. Those that visit when they're in trouble. Come on, he said, blessed are they that dwell in the house. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. They're safe. So since you're safe, my question would be then, why do you leave the place of safety? Amen. If I'm found in the house, I'm found in safety. Blessed are the people that do what? Dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee. Did you get that? See, God says if praise is being released, I'll stop the enemy so that you can continue the praise. They will still be found praising. You can also say they will become steadfast still by praising. We become unmovable because the position of our heart gives us the place of our abode. Please hear it. The confidence of our heart gives us our abode. If I'm going to be a praiser and I'm going to be still praising him, that would be my abode. And he said, if you would praise, I'll stop the enemy. I'll steal the avenger. I'll stop this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. Proverbs chapter 16, 6 and 7. Says that when by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies be at peace. Said he will make your enemies be at peace. Glory to God. I can stop the whole attack because of the position of my heart. I abide in my place of victory. I will be still praising him. Blessed are those people. See? Who is the man that trusts in the Lord? I want to be that man. The blessed man is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He don't talk wrong, sit wrong. He don't walk wrong. That's the man that is empowered to prosper. See? He's the man that's like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. This man that's the blessed man, he will not even see evil when it comes. Because this man's eye, this gaze that this man participates in is set on the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me, knowing that he will not suffer me to see corruption. This is the way David thought. He practiced this over and over and over again. These were his songs of deliverance. And when I have these songs of deliverance, the Bible tells me that he would compass me about. He will be my real reward. He'll guard me. Come on, y'all. Oh, look at him, look at him. Not only will he guide you in the way that you should go, that would be your future, but then he'll protect your path. He'll take care of your back. So that I will have the ability, thank you, God. I will have the ability and the strength to make sure I accomplish my destination. I get there because he's stopping everything that's trying to attack me and draw me back. He stops that so I can walk forward. Whew. See, this is the way we continue to renew our mind so that we can say, okay, God, this is what you said. I'm walking that. I'm looking unto Jesus because you are the one that's writing my life. You are the author and finisher of my faith. I'm not looking unto past. I'm not looking unto trouble. I'm looking unto Jesus. See? Because if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up, will he not with him also give us all things? He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's showing me my future. Everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness, he has put it in front of me. Why am I looking back? You cannot drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. The bigger glass is the windshield. Let's look at that. Why am I looking at the small piece of glass that I think is bringing me trouble? I'm looking in front of me, and I have my deliverance, and I'm too busy watching the small piece of glass that's telling me about things that cannot get to me. They are in my past. And in order to get, wow, God, and in order to get to me, they got to come through God because he's my real reward. Glory to God. See, that's the way he wants us to live. That's the blessing of being in the body of Christ, allowing him to be Savior and Lord. Blessed are they, verse 4, Psalms 84. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Then he says, Selah. Commonly think about that. Reflect on that. Let that be your launching pad. See, he doesn't want you to move because of fear. He wants you to move because of faith. So if you abide in the house, your next step, glory to God. If you abide in the house, your next step is filled with power. Your next step is not filled with doubt, unbelief, worry, frustration, and anxieties. That's why he calls us to be made to sit together in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. My next step is a guaranteed step. See, when I begin to live in his praise, his job, his promise is to then make sure the word that he gave me is that he would make my enemies be at peace with me, be fulfilled in my life. My ways please him. I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. I am one that hears and obeys the word. A doer of the word is the one that's going to be blessed in all his deeds. God watches over that word so he can perform it. It doesn't matter what weapon is formed against me. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. I'm going to increase. I'm going to grow in the grace of God. But the weapon that's attacking me cannot grow any bigger than my revelation of it being there. As soon as I know that this is a weapon formed against me, its growth has to stop. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It cannot get any bigger. It's been manifest. Its worst state has already been seen. It cannot grow any bigger. It shall not prosper. We make the thing bigger and bigger day by day. Oh, this means, no, it doesn't. If it's a weapon formed against me, its lifespan is now diminishing. Keep your eye up on Jesus. Look full in his glory and grace. And the things of earth, the attack that you're seeing, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, he's the one that authors and develops, finishes what he authored. He did not author my defeat. He authored my victory. This too shall pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. See, if I would allow God to be on the inside of me and increase as he wants to be a God to me. Oh, glory to God. Yes, good to have God as a friend, but it's better to have him as a God. Amen. He said, if I do this, if I work the way he said I should, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, then I will be a God to you, not just a friend. Yes, Lord. He'll be a God to me. He'll walk in me. Not walk with me. Walking with me is good. But he said he'll walk in me. See, I remember what the Bible says about me putting on the whole armor of God. That's his armor. When the devil sees that armor, he don't know if that's me or God, because it's not my armor. It's God's armor. Last time he saw this armor, beat the snot out of him. Captivity was led captive. Took his teeth and made him walk all around hell, saying Jesus is Lord. Amen. That was the thing that the king would do. He would bring back the one that was attacking and coming against him, and he would take him to his kingdom, and he would march him around in his kingdom, and he would say, this boy here, the one, he the bad boy. I ain't the bad boy no way, no more. He would lead captivity captive, display the honor that he now has in the sight of this person that used to be attacking him. He led captivity captive. And he sees that armor again. See, but we act like we don't supposed to be walking around in that armor. That's why he told you to put on the garment of praise, because that's what goes between you and the armor. It fills up the armor so that the armor moves correctly. Living in his praise. See? So then the devil looks at you and say, oh, no. I don't want no part of that. That's why we don't have to fight the battle. All we have to do is display the connection that we have with our God, because we live there. They that dwell in the house will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through a valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. That's what took me to this scripture right here. Because God wants you to fill your life with his presence. That even if you have went from mountaintop to mountaintop, in order to walk there, you're going to have to go through the valley. But these people that are blessed because they dwell in the house of the Lord, they will find a valley and call it a field pool. Even though, verse 6, who walking through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Why would they make it a well? Because with joy you shall draw salvation. With joy you shall draw out of the wells of salvation. With joy you get the well that you just caused to be filled because of your belief and walk and trust in God. You caused it to be the well of salvation for you. Glory to God. You never come up empty, beloved. Glory to God. It is a well, and Jesus made that well a very permanent part of you, because he put the well in your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. No stream, I'm sorry. Stream would be good, because there is a stream that maketh glad the people of God. Got that. But God says, I'm going to give you better than a stream. I'm going to give you rivers with an S. Every time you see and understand where rivers converge, the landscape around the rivers are washed away. It creates a flood. Rivers converging creates a flood, which changes the landscape. It changes what you see. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. So whenever I see the enemy, I'm looking for the flood, because that's what the descendant says. It says when the enemy comes in, comma, this is what you can expect. Like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard. The devil doesn't have any power. He's toothless. He only runs around roaring as a lion. He is not a lion. See? This is what God is asking us to participate in, to live in his praise, to live in his promise, to live in his worship. Then you will experience victory every time, all the time. And it's so good of him that if you experience hardship, all you need to do is increase your understanding and release of his praise, release of his promise. Understanding and release of his promise. Understanding and release of his worship. Amen. See? Because when you live in the praise, he stops the enemy. I'm hoping that you are connecting dots here. This is only a refreshing. I'm not trying to teach you something you haven't heard. Every word that I've already read has been in your Bible from the beginning of the time you bought that Bible. All I'm doing is giving you a refresher so that we can wrap this thing up. Because God is wanting you to put the devil under your feet. He has no business running around in your life, disturbing this, upsetting that. Isaiah 54 says that we're supposed to have great peace and composure, and your children would be taught of the Lord. Just before he says no weapon formed against you, that's 17. Verse 13 is the one says that your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure. Not just a little peace, y'all. He said great peace. That's why Jesus gave us the information again. That my peace I leave with you. Not as the world leaves you peace. I give you a peace that will cause your heart not to be troubled. Glory to God. When you know, come on, y'all. This is, let me just help you out. Some of the things that we hear but we don't think about. You go to work and they tell you they're going to give you a check. And because they told you they give you a check, your heart goes to the place of peace. You haven't received the check. All you received was the promise of the check. And it affected your life so much so that for 2 weeks you worked on that promise. On the strength of that promise, you worked. There are some of us that would work for a whole month on the strength of that promise. But yet we'll go to the Word of God and think some kind of way it's not going to work. How did we get there? He will not let his word return to him void. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Let's live on the strength of that promise, that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, your conversation should be different. You shall boldly say. You should release a surely out of your heart instead of a maybe or a hope so. This is where God has called us to, so that we can prove, that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and following, that we are going to make manifest the manifold wisdom of God. The church is going to bring into sight, into view, the manifold wisdom of God. He's going to prove it to principalities, powers, and demonic realm. He's going to prove it. And here we are, cowered down the same way the first church was. He saw the disciples. He told the disciples, go to the upper room. and they were locked up because of the fear of the Jews. And Jesus came through the wall, and he said, he upbraided them because of their unbelief. He wasn't happy about that. So do you think that we, his disciples today, he would be happy because we're functioning in unbelief and fear? That we're not going and doing what he told us to do? He told us from the very beginning, he called us here and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. So then he expects us to have dominion. He doesn't expect us to be dominated. He told us to have dominion. And here we are locked up in doing things that the devil made me do. Things that had no faith in them, no honor to God in them. Complaining about this or that instead of speaking to the situation, knowing that the same God that delivered you out of the hand of the will deliver you in my hand also this day. This day, there will be a change of the way you are viewed. This day, the birds of the air will eat your car. This day, there's going to be a change in the way you are viewed. You will not be looking like my victor. You will look like a victim of God, someone that was standing in the way of the prosperity God has already given me. You are found to be an enemy of God, and he has a track record of whatever and zero. So if you are presenting yourself as an enemy, let me tell you about your future. You can't tell me about mine. You can't tell me I'm going to be in lack. I'm going to be in trouble. No, that's not my future, but I'm going to tell you about yours. You will be put under my feet because the God of peace shall bruise Satan under my heel shortly. Those who passing through the valley of Baca make it to the well. And the rain also filleth the pools. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you see what he just said? Because everybody will tell you, you know, into everybody's life a little rain must fall. Well, he just told you what's going to happen to this rain. It's going to cause the pool to be filled. The pool. The pool would be the place of supply of water, wouldn't it? The pool would also be a place of refreshing, wouldn't it? So if there's rain in your life, it's going to cause the pool to be filled. It's not going to cause your trouble to increase. Amen. I'm just reading what it said. That's all I'm doing. It says the people that go through a valley, if you have the right heart's position, you will cause that valley to be filled. And if there's rain, it'll become a pool, a place of recreation. Whew. Supply. These are the people that, because they still praise. These are the people that go from strength to strength. They don't go from strength to weakness and then from weakness to begging. That's not these people that dwell in his house. These people go from strength to strength. Why? Because they're going from glory to glory. They're going from victory to victory. That's these people. See? They that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. That's these people. They go from strength to strength. See, my next step as I'm walking in the Lord and I'm walking in the Spirit, my next step is accomplished in strength. It's not accomplished in doubt, unbelief, worry, and fear. My next step goes from strength to strength, not from strength to temptation, not from strength to defeat. That's not what happens to the people that dwell in the house, that have their trust in him.
And every one of them in Zion appears before God.
So do you hear the confidence that these people display? They don't come to God, oh, woe is me. They say they appear before God, not they beg before God. God, okay, say it this way. God causes them to be able to be seen as one made in his image. They appear before God. See? Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you, unto me. What is he saying? I will cause them, because you lifted me up, I will cause myself, my glory, to be seen. Because you lifted me up. So then if I'm living in the praise of God, if I'm lifting him up, do I have, oh, woe is me, as my future? I can't see that here. Verse 8. Oh, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Okay, now, let's investigate this. He was not comparing God to sin. Wickedness or wicked comes from the word twisted. You know, you've heard of wicker furniture? The way that the wicker furniture is made is the strength of the furniture comes out of the twistings of the wicker. Okay, what are those things called? Of the straw of the God, I can't think of what the thing is made out of. It might be straw, looks like straw, but it's out of the I can't think of what it is. But out of the things that the wicker is twisted, and that gives it its strength. So he said, I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord than to have my twisted ideas or the teaching of those that are twisted. They appear before God. He doesn't want anything in his presence that's twisted. See? So he wasn't just talking about the people on the other side of the street that don't walk right. No, he was talking about us that's supposed to dwell there, but we have twisted thinking, a twisted understanding, thinking that some kind of way God's not going to come through. No, he says, I dwell in the house of the Lord. See, he wasn't just talking about, all right. A doorkeeper has two functions. One function would be to keep things that are on the inside protected. Why do we go to the doorkeeper only being the one that keeps things out? When I lock my doors, everything on the inside of my house is protected. He said, I would rather be one that protects the word than one that operates under the twisted thinking that causes my victory to be removed. He's talking to us first. He's not talking about them first. Just kind of let that one marinate. He's talking to the ones that want victory. He's not talking to the ones that they wouldn't read it. The ones that don't want victory are not reading the Bible. They may be reading this psychologist or that psychologist, but they're not reading the Bible. Amen. So when you read something in the Bible, know that he's talking to you. It's a two-edged sword. He's trying to get you to renew your mind. Because he's the one that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts are not mine. You think at a lower level, and I'm trying to get you to think from my level. Think from that which is, that's good, sir. Think from that which is coming down from heaven as opposed to think from that which is coming out at you from around circumstances. Mm-hmm. So he said, if you're going to have my thoughts, they're going to come from heaven. A God thought does not come from people to you. It comes from it. He's not wasting time trying to get it around you. He wants to get it in you. So he's going to, it's going to come, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of light. See? In whom there's no shadow. There's no possibility for it to be twisted. It's not going to be wicked. Come on, y'all. See? So he's not talking to us about those people that are not reading his word. The twisting is what he's referencing. The wicked. I'd rather dwell in the house. I like to go to my safe place instead of visiting every once in a while and ending up in a twisted thinking place. And he said, you have two choices. You could dwell in his house, keep the door, or you can go back and dwell in tents of twisted thinking. A tent is something, wow. A tent is a temporary dwelling place. The house of God is a permanent dwelling place. The tabernacle of God is a permanent dwelling place. Okay, just again, the word for is the conjunction word, isn't it? He's saying these things because the Lord is a sun, the Lord is a shield, the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. So he was trying to get us to trust in him. He was not trying to get us to judge people that don't trust in him. That is completely futile to try to judge people that's already judged. When you don't believe, you are judged already. Amen. So a judged person does not need your judgment, do they? See? A judged person is trying to get out. And that's what we would provide for them if we would be able to be the one that thinks correctly, the blessed man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not sit in the seat of the scornful. See? This man is the one that trusts in the Lord. He's going to be established because of trust. He's not going to be established because of judgment. Amen. So then if God told us that we're supposed to trust in the Lord and lean not to our understanding, why would you think it would be approved by him to lean to our understanding as we judge something? When he told us don't judge anything before it's time. I'm trying to help us participate in the word from God to us. Because when I do that, I'll have enough substance to live off of. But if I'm going to try to gain understanding by judging you, I've lost all entrance of the word. Because the Bible says that the entrance of the word makes you wise. It gives you something. Understanding. It didn't give you judgment. And how many times have we read scripture and then applied that scripture to those who were not even trying to understand scripture? My people are destroyed for one reason and one reason only, lack of knowledge. So then God would not want you to participate in ignorant things by judging, would he? Let me just go here and try to catch this up again. And that was just fresh, y'all. So he wants us to go back to Colossians chapter 1. in him we live, in him we move, in him we, that's what kind of led me into that segue there. See, because if I'm going to enjoy this life, I'm going to have to enjoy it being found in him. And the way Paul said that, he says, not having my own righteousness. See, I can't be found in him trying to make them guilty, having my own righteousness, trying to display how me and God is really tight. Well, the way God wants you to be able to display that you and him are really tight is that you would cover sin with love. Come on now. Come on. If you are spiritual and you see a brother overtaken in the fault, your job is to restore such an one. Didn't say nothing about judge such an one. But we have spent more time judging others, excusing ourselves while accusing them. See, we don't know what spirit we of. Because my job was to cause reconciliation, to get you to hear that there is a more excellent way. I didn't say a better way, because if I give you a better way, if I say there's a better way, you're probably going to think I'm judging you. But I said there's a more excellent way. That means you have two doors in front of you, and one of them will be a door that's not as good as the other. Your choice. This is a more excellent way. That's what Paul said. The people that Paul was talking to thought they were doing right, as Paul did. Paul thought he was doing the will of God by bringing people into jail that were in the way. But it came, revelation hit his heart, and he began to see that he was of all men most miserable, that he was chief sinner. And so then he stopped trying to get them to be like him, and he said, no, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. The way was given by Jesus, not by me. You want to get to the Father? Jesus said, I am the way. No man gets to the Father but by me. Paul's name was not even in there. So there's no sense in me trying to prove that y'all wrong. I just tell you, you can have a more excellent way. I'm not the one offering the way. Jesus said, I am the way. To get to the Father, come by me. And as soon as you understand me, you'll find out that you don't need to bring anything to the party. I provide everything. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags. But though your sins be scarlet, I'll wash them. He didn't say, I will call some people to come to you. He said, no. If your sins are scarlet, I will wash them. If you confess your sins, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, and I will wash you. He's going to use the same thing that he used for me, for everybody else. It's going to be the word. That's why he is exalted, he has magnified his word above everything. Okay? So that when we bow at the word, then the word can cause conviction that causes me to grow out of the problems. But if I'm going to bow at the will of man, then I'm going to have a problem because now I got to still follow man. Paul said, no, I don't come at you with vain speech and words that are alluring. I come at you with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. See? It ain't about me. And that's what people are needing to see. That's what people are needing to participate in. That's the calling. See? I don't call them to follow a religion, a doctrine of thought. I ask them to take the invitation to enter into relationship. Relationship lasts. God wants family. Glory to God. He's not interested in people that just showboat. He's interested in people that want to participate in family, get involved in the family business. And what is the family business? Souls. Not membership, glory to God. Amen. God is interested in citizenship, not membership. Amen. Now, that's a priest right there. He was never interested in membership. Church membership was not his goal. Citizenship. And that always comes out of relationship. We was on the wrong ship, wasn't we? See? When you hear his heart, then people become the thing that you are gravitating for. You'll start laying down your life as Jesus laid down his life. And then you'll say what Paul said. Please, y'all, just follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me because I'm going to tell you how Christ wants you to do it. That's what basically happened wrong. We forgot about relationship, and we started going to a membership. And so then we would brag about my church and how good my pastor is. That's not citizenship. See? Because I'm supposed to be conformed by the renewing of the mind. Not by the that's good too, sir. Not by the collection of minds, getting people to think my way, do it my way. I'm supposed to have my mind renewed. See? I'm supposed to participate in mercies, receiving and giving of mercies. I'm not supposed to be given rules and regulations. Okay, there we go. Come on. Most membership comes with rules and regulations. And then they'll go and validate that by being a member in good standing. Come on, y'all. See? Because a member in good standing is one that abides by rules and regulations. A citizen is going to be one that follows relationship. Amen. I mean, we're on the wrong ship. We need to abandon that ship and then go and do what he said. Come on, y'all. Wow. Do what he said. He said, make disciples of men. He did not say make members of men. Somebody help me. Come on. See, when we do it that way, then we can enjoy the benefits that come along with family involvement. I get involved in my Father's business. That's what Jesus said. I must be about my Father's business. He never said, I must be about making members. The Father's business is to cause transformation, regeneration. Come on, y'all. See? I'm not trying to make me over again and make you a member of what I am a member of. Regeneration means I take that which is and causes it to be made new. And if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. It didn't say if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is now a member. Just a little bit. It ends in just a little bit of a different place, doesn't it? And that's what we've been trying to do. Increase numbers instead of increasing presence. If you would increase presence, this is what he said. If I be lifted up, presence is not going to be a problem. I'll draw all men. Numbers would not be a problem. If I can release presence, numbers are automatically. Come on, let's look at it. Here we go. First church, one sermon. Peter gave one sermon and 3,000 people got saved. It didn't say 3,000 people became members. They joined the church, the ones that are called out. No, not the ones that are called first church. Those that are called out. That's what ecclesia means. Those that are called out, not those that have joined. Come on, y'all. I know. We don't hear much of these delineations because we've been so caught up in trying to make sure members is our priority. He said, make disciples, not members. He's interested in the whole earth. This is what he says in Habakkuk 2. He says he's interested in the whole earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. I don't hear membership in that at all. That's relationship. His glory now being deposited and released by you so that others would be drawn to the glory that he gave you. Does not sound like membership. That sounds like citizenship. That sounds like as he is, so are we in this earth. He was not a Southern Baptist. He was not a Presbyterian. First, they were called Christ-like Christians. First they were called disciples. Then someone changed it to Christians in Antioch. First they were called disciples. Those that are discipled and made disciples, not those that made church members. It's just a different place. You're wondering why in your life you're not getting Bible results? I will submit to you, you're not doing it the Bible way. Because when you do it the Bible way, he will make you a witness. Amen. And the witness will be seen and then participated in by other people reproducing disciples. This is what we're supposed to do. This is how the thing is supposed to work. Oh, wow, wow. When you make disciples, when you make kingdom citizens, it changes things. Because once I recognize that it's a kingdom that I've been invited into, then I don't try to change the kingdom because it existed and invited me into it. But membership, which requires rules and regulations, keeps me out of. Religion is defined as the binding up of the hands. Religion taught us membership. Discipleship is completely different. Discipleship requires me to be disciplined by the one that I gave my heart to. So then disciples don't do what they want to do. They love not their life unto the death. Disciples are those that overcome. Come on, y'all. Disciples are those that overcome because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and love not their lives unto the death. Disciples get that distinction. Members are steeped in religion and becomes unprofitable. Just look at the world today. Religion has caused people to walk away from the very presence of God they were seeking. But if I be lifted up, I'll draw. So that tells us we got caught up in religion because the drawing, we have now a great falling away instead of a great drawing because we stopped lifting him up so that they can change the place of their abode. They will then be able to dwell in his house, being made strong and then leaving in that strength. I mean, as we see it, This is the way we should live, from praise to promise to worship. This is the way that we will glorify him. See, not by trying to get people into a small way of thinking, because our God, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Our God is not limited. See, but we have made him limited in our personal life and in the mission that he gave us to go ye therefore and to make disciples of, he used the word, all men. See? He's wanting us to participate in the plan that he set up from the very beginning. He's going to reward that plan. So then we must stop trying to get him to approve our plan, however good it might sound. His plan is to cause people to see glory in the earth, filled the earth. That's his plan. So here we have a generation that is not that knows not God, that doesn't know Jesus. Millennials didn't see the connection that we were supposed to have with God. They saw the religion that we had, calling it God, and they didn't want any part of it. So that means to me that we didn't lift him up, because if we did, millennials would be drawing unto him. These are his words. If I be lifted up, I will then cause all men to be drawn unto me. I will give them that which will fill them up. I will cause them to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness so that I can fill them. But they haven't seen righteousness. They've seen religion. And they disdain it, always have, always will. They might try to accomplish some of the rules and regulations that religion has, but they're not happy about trying it. God tells us, my commandments are not grievous. But religion leaves us a litany of grievous things to get done. And because we haven't wanted relationship, but we wanted religion, we haven't come close to fulfilling the things he told us to do before he returns. But I'll say it again, as I always do in closing, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? Which way will you choose? Father, again, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for sharing a word with us that was fresh, that could have even been cutting, but it's a word that's necessary so that we can accomplish what you want to be done, so that we can then usher you back in to a world that is sensitive to your spirit, to a world that is hungry for your presence. Thank you, Father, that as you have admonished us, corrected us, we will be those that will walk out your plan, your vision, and your purpose. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. So, as I stated in the beginning, if you have any questions or comments about the ministry, we'll open up the lines so that you can give voice to those things. So, area code 817-919-1557. Area code 817-919-1557. Yes, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Hi, that's me, Pastor Steve. That's me, Pastor Steve, Vicki White.
Amen.
And,
amen. Hey, Vicki. I
doing my homework. Oh, okay. I was doing my homework as I was listening to you. The word was a blessing tonight. Sorry I had to miss all the other nights, because I am in school online.
Right.
The homework is different. So, but tonight was a blessing. And it helped me to almost finish it. And I just thank you that you are being blessed and led of the Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for participating in the call tonight. Amen. Area code 678-906-3508. 678-906-3508. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? 678-906-3508. Again, thank you for joining the call. And area code 678. Oh, okay. No, okay. Okay. Well, the other people have started dropping off, and amen. We get that. Again, as Sister Vicky just stated, you know, the Word of God is alive, and it enters in to our spirit through the ear gate. But it doesn't have to be limited to having our full attention, because you can meditate on the Word in your sleep, and God will be able to reveal things and strengthen you by the Word that is revealed. So, again, I'd like to thank everyone for being on the call tonight. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then you just go to the website and look for the Donate tab. And obey the Lord in what he's asking you to do, because that if we sow to you of our spiritual, the Bible says it should be no great thing for you to sow of your material things, because what it does is it opens up the channel so that God can get to you what's necessary for you. So, amen. I see that we had someone just to come back in. So, 678. 469-7930. You have the mic. Any comments or questions that you had about the ministry tonight? There you go, 678-469-7930. Okay. So again, I just applaud your tenacity to stay with me. I know that sometimes it seems like I'm long-winded. Well, just be glad I ain't as long-winded as the Apostle Paul. He did it till a man fell out the loft and died, and then he brought him back to life. So I do enjoy hearing from God, because it comes in fresh, and it is presented to you from that fresh position so that we can all grow together thereby. So until the next time that we can come together, I'll just pray the priestly prayer over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time we're gathered together, peace.